course, it's time for Did You Hear? Where Derek and I quiz each other on things from this week's news. We'll give each other one word answer, maybe a couple words. And we got to guess what the story is about and share a little about the story.
Yeah.
I usually go first.
Yeah, so we're going to let you go first again. I think sort of the default rules around here.
Darn it off. I'm going to go with, Derek Gary, your first one, Raymond Moore.
Raymond Moore. Raymond Moore. Two O's, R-E?
It is. Raymond Moore.
Raymond Moore. Is he the Boston Marathon, was a block away from the blast, who was also blown up in Brussels yesterday?
No.
That's not him. He's one of the Mormon missionaries over there. Mm-hmm. Raymond Moore. That's the only thing that's coming up for me.
Big news in sports today. One of the Williams sisters, I believe it was Serena, not too happy with some comments. He is the CEO and director of Indian Wells, and he resigned today after making comments.
Oh, that doofus.
About women's tennis. Now, he said on Sunday, he told reporters that women's tennis has been riding, quote, on the coattails of the men's game. And, quote, if I was a lady player, I would go down on my knees every night because they've carried the sport. They really have.
Yeah. I did read that story and realized that those statements were being made by a horrid human being. So I completely forgot his name.
Yeah.
I think I should get a point for that anyway. Deadlock.
They're in a deadlock. Well, something is in a deadlock.
Mm-hmm.
So many things that could be in a deadlock. I don't know.
We found out what happens when there is only 8 Supreme Court justices on Monday.
Yes.
When the court deadlocked over a case that involved a bankruptcy dispute between a development company and a Missouri bank. The wives of the men that owned this development company filed suit saying they shouldn't be liable for what their husbands did. And the lower court said, no, you're married. It doesn't work that way. The Supreme Court deadlocked on the case. And as a result of that, the lower court ruling stands. So that's what happens. If the Supreme Court deadlocks, the lower court ruling stands. And that's it. No more appeals, no more going to the Supremes. It's as if the Supreme Court isn't even there.
Now, one of the biggest cases we could possibly be hearing is the abortion case that's coming out of Texas.
Yes.
Which is going to the Supremes in June. And that is involving whether abortion clinics have to be deemed, how did they even put it, hospital ready. So, we'll see. Good chance it's going to be deadlocked. Republicans won't put anybody in.
No.
Just give it up.
And it's all the more reason why we need to get that 9th justice in there. If I could understand that we may have to write off the rest of this term, because there's no way you're going to get somebody confirmed in time
mm-hmm.
for May. But
why
need a functioning court in October.
Jump on the Merrick Garland train. He's good.
I know. There's nothing wrong with Merrick Garland. I love Merrick Garland. Please confirm Merrick Garland.
And handed to the Republicans.
Yeah. Decent, reasonable human being. Let's get him in there.
All right, Derek. Illegal vaccines.
China has thrown how many people in jail over the production of illegal vaccines?
37.
Yes.
That is 1 point for you. So police have arrested 37. This is a growing, by the day, scandal that's happening across China. China's State Food and Drug Administration has identified 9 drug wholesalers. And we're talking about illegal vaccines just don't work. You know, a few weeks ago, we were talking about how it's possible that students at UMass Boston and Harvard have measles. Possibility, bad vaccines. This could be happening in China.
Yeah, they've figured out how to counterfeit eggs in China. So it's, you know, counterfeiting is their lead export. Toxic waste. This is a local story, by the way. Toxic waste.
Is this the old down near the Fall River that they're trying to shut down?
Nope, it's closer to home than that.
Mm. Boston Harbor, it's always filled with toxic waste.
It's in the vicinity of that, but I need something more specific.
Oh, what is it?
The proposed route for the IndyCar race. Ugh. Taking place Labor Day weekend.
You can come visit me right next to my work.
Will be built over a contaminated waste site in South Boston.
Good.
Part of the plan is to widen the street, build part of the course there, and also to put the corporate hospitality suites on this site, which is in fact controlled by the Environmental Protection Agency and not the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. A spokesman for the EPA.
We're specifically in South Boston.
This is the...
Because I understand if you know the Seaport area at all, what they're proposing for the actual route, it's going down half of Northern Ave and will cut down onto Summer Street.
Yes.
And a few of the roads around there, it's going to be a mess. It is going to be an absolute mess.
This is New Cypher Street.
Okay. Oh.
Where they're
okay.
going to do this. EPA spokesman Jim Murphy said, quote, "We would consider building a racetrack over that land and other uses, a change in use," end quote. And there's a lot of PCBs under the ground, so the only way they could do this is if they don't disturb anything.
You know what's kind of nerve-wracking? The fact that all the fish distributors are over there and the amount of food that's being handled over toxic waste sites.
I say...
Cause for concern.
In defense of the 99%, yes. Let's build our corporate hospitality suite for the IndyCar event over toxic waste dump. You know why? The Veuve Clicquot tastes a lot better with PCBs in it.
Yeah. That's not a new brown version of your Veuve. Fly Dubai.
Fly Dubai. Oh, God, I just saw this. Fly Dubai has been accused of keeping their pilots at work for too many consecutive hours following a crash in Russia over the weekend during a landing. The pilot in question, I think, had been on shift for something like 40 hours.
That's what's interesting. They are bringing in that concept of that could be the possibility. At first, when they were talking about this crash and the cause for it, they were saying it was wind.
Yeah.
And it was weather. Come to find out, they have an MBTA problem where people just fall asleep because they're tired.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Not good. That's 2 points free. Yeah.
So that's good. All right. This should be an easy one if you've been reading the paper lately. Mass General
is always in the paper. It was a big story.
Yes.
Oh, no, that's at Children's Hospital with the ACL, the new surgery that just came out
today with the sponge that they can stick in people's knees.
Which
is kind of cool.
I don't know.
Mass General. Leads the state with 20% of all prescription thefts, according to an investigation
by the
Boston Herald. Brigham and Women's came in second, but they are a tiny fraction of what's going on at Mass General. Apparently, get some folks over Mass General like the fentanyl. Mm. So if you're wondering where your pain meds are, ask your nurse.
Ooh. Well, I'll follow that up with Percocet.
In the context of the FDA black box label warnings that came out today.
Yes.
Any sort of, there are two categories of opioids out there, long-acting and short-acting. Long-acting opioids, which have a higher dose, these are the ones that people like to grind up and snort, have carried the black box warning for some time. The FDA is now going to extend that black box warning to quick-release opioids. Mm-hmm. And the problem with these black box warnings is nobody cares. Right? Because you're like, oh,
you're in so much pain. Oh, I don't care.
No, but it's not even, they're like, oh, they're going to put a black box warning on it. You know what that means? That means when you pick up your prescription, there's something printed on the label that says, go to this website for additional health and safety warnings.
No, it's just like a certain
general warning
on cigarettes.
Yeah.
But what's interesting here is the FDA is actually going to physicians and saying, try not to prescribe these drugs. If you can. We could be seeing a change in prescribing of opioids.
Which would be a good thing.
I mean, that's not only just Percocet, but that's also morphine, OCs, codeine.
But now that you've hooked everybody on the fentanyl and the OCs, are you going to change that? No. This is going to be a problem for generations now.
And also the drug companies don't give a crap about the heroin epidemic and how that starts from getting, you know, hooked on OxyContin when you have back pain.
Whether that OxyContin is prescribed, stolen from a pharmacy, or diverted by a nurse, the pharmaceutical company gets its money.
And that's what it's all about, the money.
And it's not like you could sit there and be like, well, the pharmaceutical companies are making a dangerous product. This will be the next argument that gets made. They're making a product that does its job, which is to remove pain. And a side effect of that happens to be that it makes you feel really funky for a while. And some people like feeling really funky. Some people can't function without that heroin anymore.
Yeah. They like to call that a high.
Yeah. Yeah. So
takes away the pain.
That is what that is. Two more, one more.
Two more.
Two more. Philip Panzica.
See, it sounds so much different from what I read. Philip Panzica.
Yes, Philip Panzica.
How would you spell that last name?
P-A-N-Z-I-C-A. Philip Panzica.
Sports? Government?
No. General goofball.
I don't know.
Philip Panzica, I believe we reported on this previously, was the gentleman who had sex on the Ferris wheel in Las Vegas.
Oh, God, yes. Is he back at it?
No. Things did not end well for Mr. Panzica. He was shot and killed after leaving an adult entertainment club in Houston.
You call this newsworthy?
Look. It's a follow-up.
You always knock me for pulling these stories. And I'm supposed to pull up a name that you found on Gawker, which we will
No, this is USA about. Today. It was front page above the fold. This is the guy that had sex on the high roller.
USA Today does make questionable choices in their editorial choices.
This was also a story that we covered previously. We talked about Philip Panzica and what he was getting up to on the Ferris wheel because the operators of the Ferris wheel repeatedly told them to stop doing it. And they just went ahead and did it anyway. Well,
so who shot him?
He was shot and killed by a carjacker as he was getting into his fiance's vehicle after leaving a strip club in Houston. His fiance was ejected from... or was thrown out of the vehicle. They did catch up with the people who carjacked him. But one of the interesting things about this is that there's some other element to this story because one of the carjackers apparently yelled at Mr. Panzica, "You need to come clean."
Wait, so you mean... there was a reporting on a story that doesn't add up?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
All right, last one from me. I'm going to give you gull wing doors.
This is an automobile story. Gull wing doors, I immediately think of the DeLorean and the Mercedes AMG. Which are about the only things that have them as standard equipment. But I don't remember hearing anything about gull wings this week.
New York Auto Show is going on right now. Yeah. And this is the hottest concept that everybody is talking about. New gull wing doors. They are now on the Lincoln Navigator. So Tesla is not the only one. This is the new style. And people are going crazy for them. And basically, at gull wing doors, they open like seabird wings. They look really cool.
They do look really cool. I remember that there was actually a note about that at the Detroit Auto Show, that they were putting those on the Lincoln. And soon we'll have Matthew McConaughey, like, walking sexily and richly around his gull-wing
doors.
Pulling
down, yeah. All right, last one. I would like to try to get one.
All right, this is one of my favorite stories of the week. And if you missed this, I don't know.
You can't preface with that. Like, you can't do that setup.
Bodie McBoatface.
Bodie McBoatface?
Yes, Bodie McBoatface.
Where are you getting these stories?
This story was everywhere. This was the number one story in 13 different outlets on Monday.
Bodie McBoatface.
Bodie McBoatface.
It's going to kill me when you tell me.
That's the name submitted by PR consultant James Heard in the United Kingdom, which has a good chance of becoming the name of the United Kingdom's National Environment Research Council's new vessel. Their new research vessel. They have asked the internet to help them name
the
boats.
Honestly, I didn't hear this
story. How did you miss that?
I didn't hear this.
This one was everywhere on Monday.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
What are you looking for reliable news sources now?
CNN had it. MSN had it.
Oh, yeah. Was that?
USA Today had it. Drudge had it. Gawker had it. You couldn't go anywhere Monday without seeing this story. It was under the headline, "This is why you don't let the internet name things."
Bodie
McBoatface is currently, so they asked the public to help them name the vessel. And RRS Bodie McBoatface is in first place by a wide margin right now. 68,559 votes. The next one up, Henry Worsley has almost 6,600. So 68,000 votes for Bodie McBoatface. There's some others in here that I'd like to see.
So funny.
This is going to be an Arctic research vessel.
No.
So some of the other names up for consideration are the RRS It's Bloody Cold Here. The RRS Usain Boat. I think that's cute. The RRS, this is one I personally like, the RRS Thanks for All the Fish, which is a nice little Douglas Adams reference. RRS I Like Big Boats and I Cannot Lie.
Yes. Please vote for that one.
I Like Big Boats and I Cannot Lie. That's currently floating right around 2,000 votes. We can get that up there. The RRS Ice Ice Baby is another one.
I like that.
The RRS Boat Marley and the Whalers. Clifford the Big Red Boat. One for you Tom Hanks fans. I'm the Captain Now. The Red Dwarf. British comedy fans know what that is. The RRS Ship Happens is another good.
I would go with I Like Big Boats and I Cannot Lie, but that's fantastic. That, and you know what? Congratulations to the public, and I'm sure everybody is laughing as they were voting. You know, as hard as I was with Bodie McBoatface.
Bodie McBoatface. I kind of like I Like Big Boats and I Cannot Lie,
but I. You know, I just want to be at the talk when these researchers are giving their, you know, analysis of the Arctic and their voyage and how they start in talking about, you know, they got on the Bodie McBoatface.
With a mere 420 votes down near the bottom, we have the RRS Boatback Mountain. But Bodie McBoatface has a very good chance of being the name.
How much is it winning by?
Quite a lot.
Yeah.
62,000. Nearly 62,000 votes right now.
Yeah, those Brits have quite the sense of humor.
Yes. This is why you don't let the internet name things, but it's also great, great fun for us in the media business. When we come back, more great fun for those of us in the media business. We could be looking at the very end of Gawker Media, and there was much rejoicing. Will anyone feel sad? I doubt it. We'll be back with that here on WMFO Medford as we welcome spring. It is spring, Lisa, with the beautiful sound of Nina Simone.
Old people talk to themselves when they sit all around all day. This old woman I knew, I used to go over there, sit with her. And she'd be sitting around in a rocking chair, talking to herself. And she used to say, sometimes the cold gets in my bones so bad till I just don't think I can go on. Yeah, and for a little while, well, I don't care if my days are coming to an end. I just as soon be gone sometimes. Sometimes the night comes down on me and I know what's ahead. An evening in this cold old house with no one to say goodnight to me when I go to bed. An evening in this cold old house with no one to say goodnight to me when I go to bed. Sometimes I wonder why I stay. What am I waiting for? My children are grown and gone away. They got children of their own now, don't need me anymore. In the winter when the streets are bare, there are nothing much to see. I just can't help missing and thinking about that kindly man that one old winter time came and took away from me. And then one morning, another spring is there outside my door. Things are blooming, birds are singing, and suddenly, yes, well, I ain't sad. Heart's restored. I've had my love, I've had my children, and I have so many memories. So don't mind me complaining what the years may bring, 'cause this old world has been fine with me, really. And I'm thankful for seeing another spring. It's gonna be better this time. Another spring. It's gonna be groovier this time. Another spring. It's what's happening this time. So I'm thankful for letting me see another spring.
The international struggles of our world may lead to
nuclear holocaust.
To survive, you must have protection from radioactive fallout.
In the past, heavy equipment necessitated a long, costly operation for out-of-home shelter installation.
Today, Survive-All basement-type shelters offer a combination steel and concrete do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved, Survive-All offers maximum protection from fallout and falling debris, plus a basic equipment kit for family survival.
There's low initial cost and FHA approval. Nothing down in 5 years to pay.
For your family's protection, see a Survive-All shelter today.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Sits at home and rolls her spastic eyes.
Welcome back to WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Gary and I'm Lisa Nichols, and this is The Big Picture, here with you every Wednesday night. And you can give us a call at 617-627-3800 to be a part of the show. Again, that number is 617-627-3800. Now, if you have been listening to the news at all in the past couple days, you may have heard that Hulk Hogan is a little bit richer.
If you've been listening to the news at all in the last couple of days, you've heard that Bodie McBoatface is going to be the name of that new research
vessel.
Which
clearly I have not.
Bodie McBoatface.
I've not done my research. Hulk Hogan, yeah, he's a little bit richer. Or should we say his real name? Terry Bollea. How do you pronounce his last name?
I think it's Bollea.
Bollea. And this is what the case with Gawker Media versus Hulk Hogan or Terry Bollea is about. Because is it your public persona or is it your private persona?
Yeah, just to give a little background on this, Gawker Media published 9 seconds of a sex tape featuring Hulk Hogan on Gawker Media.
I think the tagline said, you know, you shouldn't see this at work, but take 9 seconds of watching Hulk Hogan in a canopy bed have sex.
Yes, and the sex tape exists because Hulk was going through a rough patch, so Bubba the Love Sponge basically said, hey, come bang my wife.
He had his name legally changed to that.
And Hulk maintains he did not know that Bubba was taping everything that was going on in his wife's bedroom at the time, something that Gawker Media disputes. Regardless of all of this, they published a tape that they had received
From
an uncertain source. Mm-hmm. And now they're trying to say, oh, no, this is in the public interest. The public has a right to know. Because Hulk Hogan is a public figure.
Just like Anthony Weiner.
Who has...
Or any other politician that has been kind of wrapped up in scandal.
Yes, because he is a public figure, because he has talked about his sex life, because there is interest in sex tapes among the American people, we ought to be able to publish 9 seconds of this and write a snarky little article making fun of it. The Florida jury did not agree and awarded Hulk Hogan $115 million in compensatory damages, which is $15 million more than he asked for.
It was, yeah.
And another $25 million in punitive damages, including $10 million directly from the pocket of Nick Denton, the owner and publisher of Gawker Media. If this is upheld, Gawker Media, Jezebel, will be no more.
Deadspin.
Unfortunately, Deadspin, Jalopnik, Kotaku, and IO9 mm-hmm. will also be no more. But
Gawker is the worst. You know, it's that snarky, bottom-of-the-barrel media, and I'm not sad to see it go, especially Jezebel. Deadspin does put out some decent stuff, but it's not something that you're going to go to as a good source for sports media by any means.
There's no doubt in my mind that Drew McGarry will land somewhere after this because he already works for everybody, and that column will continue somewhere.
I mean, the company is only... They estimated at about $250 million.
Yeah. But here's the thing. They publish this thing, and then they get in front of the jury. And ahead of this, the deposition of Nick Denton, who is the publisher and owner, final voice of everything at Gawker Media, and A.J. Delario, a recent college graduate and mouth breather who has been given access to a publishing platform, in which they are asked, you know, is there any kind of sex tape that you wouldn't publish? And AJ, you know, is there a, someone asks AJ Delario, is there a limit on what you'd publish? Well, yeah, children under four, ha ha ha.
Yeah.
They smirked and snarked and grinned their way through this whole thing. Mm-hmm. They are proud of what they have done.
Well, what they were really trying to paint was that Hulk Hogan, this was his persona, that he was this brash, loudmouth, always talked about sex. They brought up so many times from the defense of Gawker saying, well, look how many times he would go on Howard Stern, talk about his penis size, talk about sexual escapades.
Doesn't matter. This is
the person that he is. Now, from the side of Hulk Hogan, really what they were trying to do is separate that. There are two different people. you have this man who has created the legacy of Hulk Hogan, which is not this man, Terry Bollea.
It doesn't matter because you took stolen property of a private act involving somebody else and published it online without their consent. Now, the last time I checked, the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals had determined that revenge porn is illegal. That if you publish pornographic material as a private citizen without the other person's knowledge or consent, that you will go to jail for that. The same standard should be applied to our media because as much as I support and defend the First Amendment, there is no compelling public interest that is served in watching somebody have sex with somebody else unless that video is time-stamped and the person is using it as an alibi for murder.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only situation where you can justify it.
But it amazes me how many media outlets were actually saying how damning this case was to freedom of speech. And if you want to go on, you know, in the past couple days, New York Times has been constantly pushing out these air quote editorial pieces on how this case is ruining our speech.
Yeah.
Well, you know what it's actually doing? It's protecting that little bit of privacy that we possibly still have.
Those editorials and stories are written by recent or not too distant journalism school graduates who are nitwits with very little real world experience.
Well, you get on a platform like the New York Times and then it gets picked up on every single site.
Yeah, the broader and keep in mind, the New York Times is going to write that because they need to cover every aspect of everything on their editorial page.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're trying to be all things to all people and they're trying to be, oh, let's embrace this brave new world of no morality and no privacy, and because it keeps the young people engaged. You know, they're trying to get some millennials to read their paper. And millennials look at the New York Times and they're like, that's boring old trash. So if they look hip. But
that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to push this whole kind of, you know, adding all the facts. I mean, the facts are basic.
Reasonable First Amendment scholars who have looked at this, and there have been several who've weighed in different places online, have basically said the scope of this case is so incredibly narrow. The type of material that's covered is so unbelievably narrow that there is no impact on the First Amendment whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Even people who are rampant First Amendment at all costs defenders look at this and they're like, Gawker went too far.
No, but Derek, you just said it a moment ago. What you have here is a videotape that was filmed without the permission of the person and then released. It's not like it was given to you. It was given to a friend. It was released to millions of people. It was released on a platform that made it for profit.
Yes.
That's all you have here. I mean, it's black and white.
Well, Nick Denton doesn't think so. Because it took him 5 days.
But this is what Gawker has been continually doing.
Oh.
What they think is sensational, it's pathetic.
Trust me, you do not want to live in a world where people like AJ Delario and Nick Denton are making editorial decisions. You don't. Because in their eyes,
Gawker is constantly put after scandal. Finally, somebody might put them out of business.
Everyone, in their eyes, everyone is fair game. Doesn't matter who you are or what you do, you are fair game.
And they've always maintained that stance.
They spend countless hours every single week taking down college students over rape allegations. Some of which turn out to be true, some of which turn out not to be true. I would ask any of the tough students who are listening to this, or any other university students who are listening to this, how they would respond to suddenly being a target of national media scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
Most college students aren't going to hold up too well under that. And lately they've started going after high school students too. These are stories that may or may not be worthy of national media attention. But the fact that it's a slow news day at Jezebel and they got to keep the fountain of rape stories running leads them to target anyone and everyone.
Well, I mean, essentially what you have here is a group that considers themselves a reliable news source and has the journalistic abilities of posting things as Reddit does, where anybody can put whatever they want on it.
Reddit doesn't have any delusions about being anything more than
which is a
giant forum for idiots.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's what they take on.
Yeah, Gawker has
just
delusions of grandeur.
Just put on whatever you think will get clicks.
Whatever's going to...
That's all that matters.
Yeah, whatever's going to generate outrage, whatever's going to get us more clicks, because Gawker is news...
Think we knock on Huffington Post enough? I mean, look at what Gawker does.
As bad as Huffington Post is, they at least have some actual news on their website that... Granted, it's stolen from other people who specialize in news and not rewriting things that other people write on the internet.
I read this article of Delusion, and they were talking about how Gawker, after so many, you know, allegations of scandals and whatnot, they've really, you know, turned a page.
Yeah.
And now they're focusing on more hard-hitting news.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of that.
Is that... Yeah.
I haven't seen any of that. I have seen some hard-hitting news lately. None of it came from Gawker. No. The most hard-hitting news I saw recently was last week's USA Today report on high lead levels all across the United States, including right here in Medford. The good news here in Medford is that you were only slightly over the EPA limit, unlike some parts of the country that have water as bad as Flint, Michigan. But back to the Gawker case. This is not news as public service. This is news as business. Gawker is founded on the idea that clicks have value because you can sell advertising with them. So the only thing that they're interested in is selling advertising. And if you go to one of their sites and you start getting assaulted by the advertising, mm-hmm. it becomes obvious that that's what they're all about.
Well, that's the main focus. And then everything else, the actual news... gets fallen by the wayside. And for somebody like you, Derek, and I have studied journalism, and we have so much respect for the craft that we went to school for,
yeah.
got degrees in, and it is so shameful to see the state of journalism today. And you have a website like this that acts in manners like this, just posting sex videos, unwilling to the victim.
Well, they spend most of their time just stealing other people's content. And putting a new headline on it and then linking to the story in their stupid write-up of it. That's not journalism. That's theft. Okay, you're not an aggregator like Matt Drudge, who's just running headlines. Mm-hmm. You're rewriting the content and trying to pass it off as your own. That's theft. I'm not even going to call it plagiarism, because you're not stealing it word for word. That's just theft. That's how that should be defined. The only actual news that they ever break... is stuff like the Hulk Hogan video and the takedown of the Condé Nast executive last year by the male prostitute,
mm-hmm.
which are stories that no reasonable news outlet in the United States of America would ever publish.
They were the one that did Mantiteo's imaginary girlfriend.
Yeah.
Is another one.
Yeah. And that one actually, that was Deadspin, and they've actually got a couple of decent sports reporters over there. That may have been the last time that they actually broke a story.
Mm-hmm.
That was 2012.
We had the same conversation, though, when the Condé Nast CEO this happened to, and saying, well, what is considered privacy? I mean, you are going against somebody's privacy. You are putting this information out there to the public. That's defamation.
This is why the media has gatekeepers. This is where editors come in. Now, earlier tonight... we had the conversation about the Framingham case, where four Guatemalans, two of whom have previously been deported, apparently abducted a couple, threatened to kill the boyfriend, sexually assaulted the girlfriend.
They didn't abduct them. I mean,
but that's what's been alleged.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I look at this story and I'm like, as a news editor, I have a problem with this because something here doesn't add up. Gawker, they don't have that filter. There are no adults in charge over there. There are a bunch of children running around saying, what's going to get the most clicks?
Yeah, but that would almost be a step up for them if they ran that story. But that's too newsworthy.
They won't touch that story because it doesn't fit the progressive
exactly.
narrative. That's the other thing.
Nobody wants to read about illegal immigrants.
No.
It's crazy.
If Hillary Clinton had a sex tape out, they wouldn't publish it in a million years.
Sex sells, and they understand that.
If Donald Trump did,
they're basically riding the line
front page.
Of what TMZ does.
Yeah.
You cannot sell yourself as a news source, a world, national, local news source, if you are TMZ.
Well, TMZ is trash. Radar Online is trash.
And that's basically what Gawker is.
But TMZ and Radar Online...
accept their position and know what they are?
Also know... how far they can go. Because The Hulk Hogan. Let me tell you something.
You wouldn't have TMZ touch a sex tape.
No, the Hulk Hogan sex tape.
They know it would be sued.
But somebody shopped it to them. It didn't just go to Gawker first.
Of course.
It went to Gawker because no one else was dumb enough to publish it. And all these arguments that Nick Denton is making about, well, this is chilling for journalism and the jury doesn't understand what this case is really about. What this case is really about, Mr. Denton, is that somebody walked in your door with a sex tape of questionable origin and you were stupid enough to publish it. Why? Because you wanted clicks. And you can argue all day about there wasn't advertising on the page and we didn't make any money on that article. It doesn't matter. Because when you are an online entity, everything you do is about building your audience.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a sex tape, you're building an audience by saying, hey, when sex tapes come out, we're going to have them. When Monte Teo comes out, we're going to have it. When Ray Rice punches his girlfriend in the face, we're going to steal it from TMZ or Radar Online so that we have it.
You're basically like a sensationalized live leak.
This goes way beyond. Live leak operates in an entirely different
Hollywood-esque.
No,
I understand that. But I mean, if you're going to, if you want to see some sort of video footage on something that has happened, whether we're talking about the Paris attacks, we're talking about Brussels attacks, that's where you go to see it.
LiveLeak exists to give us the stuff that the networks won't show us. They have the uncensored version of the video when everyone else has, oh, we're cutting to black because we don't think you can handle this. That's all LiveLeak does. And they have a huge audience for it. And I'm not going to talk about what that audience is into. I know that I like having them around so that I can get some unfiltered footage of things like Brussels. I was on LiveLeak yesterday. It was the first place I went. They'll have it. And I'm looking at all these blurred out pictures all over the place. And I'm like, this is so, so much less in terms of graphic content than the Boston Marathon bombing. That's an aside.
But what you had to look at as what effect that this had on him, on Hulk Hogan.
Sure.
I mean, how many millions of dollars that he lost his career.
But that's not how the jury looks at this.
No.
That's not how the court is going to look at this, because the court is going to say,
I understand the basis of it. You have a video that was put up without the knowledge of the victim. Plain and simple.
What kind
decided.
Of...
This is why it only took them 5 hours to decide.
Gawker maintains they're going to win this on appeal, and I'm going to tell you why they're not. They went after a private citizen. Now, you can say what you want about Hulk Hogan being a celebrity, all the rest of that. Doesn't matter. You went after a private citizen. That's not going to play well. And you've stated, for the record, that you'd do it to somebody else. So you have established the type of person that you are. Typically, the appeals court is going to try and come up with a verdict that will provide the greatest amount of freedom and the least amount of damage to similar businesses. In the case of Gawker Media, what we have is a couple of idiots in the form of Nick Denton and AJ Delario who have no business having access to an audience, publishing things.
Yeah, but, I mean, isn't the court in the appeals case going to look at the effect that it did have monetarily on somebody's character, with losing sponsors? You have to look at the full picture here.
Honestly, in this case, if we were talking about a Time magazine,
I mean, is there no remorse coming? That actually, that was a completely stupid question. Of course, there's no remorse coming from Gawker and what they caused.
No, they're proud of it. It's even worse. They're proud of
it.
Well,
that's shameful.
They're proud of it, and they'll do it again. That's what they've said.
You had sex with somebody. You didn't know it was recorded. But shame on you. You did it. You cheated on your wife. That's the picture that you're trying to paint.
Hulk Hogan's prior knowledge of the tape, whether or not Hulk Hogan consented to the tape, all of that is irrelevant. This is all part of the smokescreen that Denton's trying to put up. Well, he knew about this and he saw the tape and this was really about the other tape with the N-word in it and this and that and the other thing. All of that is irrelevant. There is one single fact in this case. Gawker Media published a sex tape that they obtained illegally without the subject's consent. The federal appeals court has already said that private citizens cannot do that. It's called revenge porn, and you will go to jail. The same rule is going to apply to Gawker Media. And the appeals court can feel free to slap the hell out of Nick Denton and AJ Delario and Gawker Media because this will have no material impact on any other journalism enterprise in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It is basically a reminder to the rest of the journalism industry, which by and large is self-regulating and knows better.
Well, as you said, I mean, this video was shopped around to multiple places.
Yeah.
And of course, Gawker's the last one to say, yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, because they're idiots.
Because they have no journalistic integrity.
No, they
don't care.
It's worse than that. Nick Denton thinks that this is actually the future of journalism. He thinks that he is somehow advancing
like
the medium with this.
I feel like we have the same exact conversation and same exact delusions coming from Denton every time something like this happens.
Yeah.
And Coda Nastin, that was the last one.
And it's not like, oh, we made a mistake. It's like, hey, we're evolving journalism.
It just so happened that this one hurt enough where they could go out of business.
No, you're not evolving journalism. You are behaving amorally. You are behaving scandalously. You are behaving like a common bore. And the courts are not going to show you any favors on appeal. So enjoy Gawker Media while you can. I hope the good writers over there have got their resumes out. Because they're not going to be getting a paycheck with Nick Denton's name on it forever. 617-627-3800 on the web at facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo. When we come back, what's hot? Our favorite things from the past week. And that's the thing that happened. The strangest stories from the past week that don't involve Bodie McBoatface right here on WMFO Medford.
When I was young, I lived in a world of dreams, of moods and myths and illusionary schemes. Though now I'm much more grown up, I fear that I must own up to the fact that I'm in doubt of what the modern cynics shout of. They say it's spring, this feeling light as a feather. They say this thing, this magic we share together, came with the weather too. They say it's May, that's made me daft as a daisy. It's May, they say, that gave the whole world this crazy, heavenly, hazy hue. I'm a lark on a wing, I'm the spark of a firefly's fling. Yet to me, this must be something more than a seasonal thing. They say it's spring, those bells that I can hear ringing. It may be spring, but when the robin starts singing, you're what I'm clinging to. Though they say it's spring, it's you. If poets sing that when a heart's sympathetic, it's merely spring, then poets' plights are pathetic, though I'm poetic too. They say it's spring, for lovers there's where the lure is, that evil thing, for which September the cure is. This they are sure is true, though I know so that my fancy may turn in the spring with the right one in sight. One can find a perpetual thing. Did I need spring to bring the ring that you bought me? Though it was spring, that wondrous day that you caught me, darling, I thought we knew that it wasn't spring, 'twas you.
is Kate Pearson from the B-52s for Red. Getting drunk is your own business, but when you drive drunk, you make it everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be responsible, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
Public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
WFFO Medford 91.5. This is The Big Picture. And of course, it's time for What's Hot, our favorite news story from this week. Do you like polar beverages? The different flavors, seltzers, mix it. Well, personally, I like them to mix with vodka. Some people mix it with gin. Whenever they come out with a new flavor, I don't think how refreshing that will be. I think of how amazing that mixer would be. So, the Worcester-based company came out with a new flavor. Wait for it. Unicorn Kisses.
Oh my God.
Now, where the beer normally is, there's a unicorn. They're only selling 5,000 cases. I need all of them. Now, the label is comparing it to tasting like sparkling rainbows. I do actually.
Sparkling rainbows don't have a taste.
That's weird because I sometimes have delicious cocktails and I describe them as tasting like sunshine and rainbows.
Sunshine does not have a taste.
So I believe that somebody at Polar Beverages overheard me talk about it tasting like sunshine and rainbows. Now, Boston Magazine wrote an article on it. They were able to have their staffers taste it. Some of them described the flavor to melon, Airhead, Skittles, Runts, and vanilla. So kind of across the board. I don't know if these people just were maybe eating these things while drinking it. One person on the Boston Magazine staff compared to drinking soap. So I'm not going to go with them. I'm going to try to find some unicorn kisses so I can have... I would love to go to a bar and try to ask for a vodka and unicorn kisses, but I don't believe anybody will be carrying it.
This needs to stop. This really does.
This is fantastic.
No, this is as bad as the Yankee Candle, like white linen, you know, yeah, or summer afternoon.
I actually just had a source text me, Market Basket does not have it yet. I will be going. Stop and Shop has a better selection of polar.
Your flavors need to be based on concepts that actually exist that human beings understand.
No, you know what? This is marketing genius.
Yeah, for 12-year-olds.
No.
Would you like?
Derek, I hate my generation. This is so geared toward millennials. It's ridiculous.
Would you like a Lisa Frank's handbag to go with that?
No,
with
I never liked Lisa Frank's.
A multicolored unicorn on it?
Unicorn kisses. That's hilarious.
That's,
and fantastic.
No, that's wrong on so many levels.
No.
Just give your flavor a name that humans can understand.
Nope. They're so smart because everybody's going to want it. I don't even think I want to drink it. I want to save it.
I'm not even going to try it. I'm not drinking anything called unicorn kisses. I'm sorry. I'm not. There were no unicorns. If there were unicorns, they wouldn't kiss anything.
I guarantee you half of our listeners are like, where can I find that?
I mean, why don't you just come out with a flavor called bronies, you know?
What appeal does that have?
It makes as much sense as unicorn kisses. That's a market you're going for.
Oh, hush.
We'll need to come up with a drink that's a brony, that's unicorn kisses mixed with probably straight grain alcohol, sprinkled with oxycodone and a little bit of marijuana.
For somebody that likes to drink, like myself, this is a fantastic idea, and everybody will want it. So
nobody will want it. Nobody wants this. No one asked for this.
Everybody asks for
this. No one asks for this.
Derek, I swear when I'm out and I have a good drink, I say that. It tastes like sunshine and rainbows.
Nothing.
Unicorn
sunshine
kisses.
And rainbows don't
it's
have a flavor.
Taste. It's a thing. It's magical. It's so good. You can't even describe it because it's like sunshine and rainbows.
It's a concession to limited vocabulary. And as an educated...
I feel like you're mocking me and...
I am. As an educated, civilized human being, I object. I have a problem with this. I think we should strive for more.
You just don't enjoy the finer things in life.
I enjoy a lot of the finer things in life. Like I have never described kisses. A scotch as tasting like sunshine and rainbows.
Nor have I, but a delicious cocktail, yes.
Yeah, I don't drink those cocktails.
Go on.
I don't drink those cocktails. First of all, facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo.
I'll make sure I put on unicorn kisses.
Tell people to go over there. Yeah, Lisa will have the unicorn kisses update, so you can go figure out where the heck to get your fictional beverage that is unfortunately all too real. I wish I had something light and fun and frothy to follow that up, but this I'm serving you up some vegetables. You got to have the vegetables before you can have your unicorn kisses for dessert. Next Tuesday night, Frontline is going to be airing a documentary that everybody needs to see. It is called Saudi Arabia Uncovered, and it is a co-production between PBS and I think ITV over in London. It aired on British television on Monday night and created quite a stir. This is an in-depth investigation of the Wahhabism legal system, the Wahhabi legal system over in Saudi Arabia. Curbside executions, bodies hanging from cranes. You're going to see a lot of things in this that are very unpleasant. This is one that's going to have viewer discretion advised splashed all over it for very good reasons, but is also going to give you a lot of insight into just who our number one ally in the Middle East really is. And surprisingly, the Saudis have not been making more noise about this than they have been. The things that were captured by this film crew typically are never seen, because anybody who is attempting to film something in Saudi Arabia has government handlers following them around. So they figured out a way to get around that. I think a lot of this was shot by actual Saudi citizens and smuggled out of the country. It does not paint a flattering picture of the Saudi Arabian government.
Frontline puts together amazing pieces, and I heard that they were releasing a new one, so
yeah.
I would definitely check it out. And speaking about documentaries, there is Michael Chiklis. I forget who put it on the Market Basket saga. There's a piece coming out on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That should be good.
I gotta figure out, so I'll talk about that next week.
He's a Lowell boy.
Yeah. Local.
But anyway, this will be on Frontline. This will be next Tuesday night at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central, wherever you happen to be. I do very highly encourage you to watch this, because everything that Frontline does is a cut above in the journalism department. This falls under the category of really, really important reporting, really important program that more people should see.
As we end the show every week, that's the thing that happened, the craziest from this week's news. Back to Florida. A 36-year-old Florida man now faces grand theft auto charges after police says he stole a BMW and attempted to pay for it using a combination of his credit card and his EBT card. The Martin County Sheriff's Office said managers at the Pompano Beach auto dealership denied Nicholas Jackson's payment method. Jackson then returned to the dealership that night and boosted the $60,000 vehicle and more than 50 sets of keys. Law enforcement officials quickly pieced together the situation after responding to a suspicious person report and discovered it was Jackson who was the culprit behind the stolen vehicle. Detectives say despite his efforts, he did not get far because he did not have enough money to fill the gas tank.
Are we going to have to put a thing on the EBT cards that
EBT
now says
cards.
May not be used for car purchase?
Trying to buy a BMW.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his debit card got declined. It's shocking.
Yes, very shocking. China.
Ooh.
We don't get over there very much.
Yeah.
Seeking to end, quote, chaotic name-changing practices. Civil Affairs Minister Li Lugao said that the government will put an end to foreign and, quote, bizarre names on housing compounds, buildings, and streets as part of the first survey of geographical names since 1984. Following earlier rules against bizarre architecture, such as the giant rotating teapot building in Wuxi, the new rules will target arbitrary use of foreign names, names that threaten Chinese sovereignty and morals, and names that cause the most public complaints. Among the possible targets are compounds named Palm Springs, Park Avenue, Beijing Riviera, and Beijing Yosemite, as well as names that exaggerate amenities, such as Vienna Woods, which has just a few trees, and a compound with a small pond called Venice Watertown. No more.